It's time for your weekly smart look at sports. I'm Jeff Brault. He is Dr. Keith Strollo, the man who runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, back with us after a one-week absence to help someone move. Nice of Mike Wallace to show up.
It's my grandmother. It's not someone.
It isn't just somebody.
Yeah, it's family.
There are two things. There are two things that I'm not doing. I'm not helping you move. And I'm not driving you to the airport.
Apparently you're not helping me with my headphones right now either.
You turn them up yourself. You're not a child.
There's something wrong with my headphones.
Are they plugged in?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm checking. I'll tell you what, this is going to get in the way of me finishing my commentary today.
I'm sitting literally 2 feet away from you. You know what you can do? You can take your headphones off.
Oh, they're working better.
Yeah, watch this. You get ready.
Oh,
you're
going to
do that thing where you take them off your ears because you can't handle it.
Go
ready?
Ahead.
Ready? Here it comes. How's that?
Yeah, see, that's what I wanted you to do, and you were not doing it on purpose.
Exactly right. I wanted you to suffer.
You are not doing that. I knew it. I knew there was a button you had to press, and you weren't doing it on purpose. It makes me angry a little bit.
You should learn how to fend for yourself.
Now, I can't fend for myself.
When you point a finger, three point right back at you.
That's right. But what if I point and go like this? I just point my whole hand at you.
It's not pointing a finger. You can do the Bill Clinton thing where you do the closed fist with the thumb over top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're not standing outside our studio right now. By the way, you know what I want to do? I want to do next year, because starting in just a few weeks, we're going to be moving up to our posh new studio we're moving on up, as the Jefferson said, to the top floor of the Lowell Thomas, as opposed to the lower level. We are moving up not one flight, but two flights to our lavish television studio, where we'll be able to do our program live from there. And then we've built an entire radio cart that is just for us. So when we say, who's the person who screwed with this, we're going to have to say, oh, it was us. So it's just going to be our stuff. It's going to be great. But I think this will give us the ability to live stream our program. And I'm looking into Twitter Live. How do you feel about Twitter Live?
I feel like you are writing checks that we can't cash right now. last week we struggled to have 2 hours of consistent internet connection, and now you're thinking about live video streaming.
Yes, you have to dream. If you can, and by the way, if you can dream it, you can do it. It's my cliche of the day.
I dreamt, and this is true. Last Friday night, I dreamt about a working internet connection. And it turns out we couldn't make it happen. Oh. We got about 90 minutes of the 120 minutes that we needed, and then that's not enough.
Someone suggests 90 is more than enough. Why are you wearing an LSU shirt, by the way?
Because I went to LSU once and got this shirt. Why are you wearing an Italia soccer jersey?
The same reason. I went to Italy once, and I was like, what's the tightest shirt I can get in my body? And this measured up. Well, it's the Olympics. I want to privilege all the countries. So right now I'm representing Italy.
You from Italy?
Nope.
Any sort of Italian background?
None whatsoever. Literally none. I created a program for our campus over there. I have no Italian lineage whatsoever. I'm as un-Italian as anyone.
But you're all in on the Olympics, though. You love them.
I wanted to not like them because apparently there's gang warfare like literally across the street from the Olympics right now.
If you make a wrong turn, you can get shot.
Yeah. It's bad news. And there's at least one sailor who is too weak to sit in her boat right now because she ingested some of the polluted water, ocean water. But, I have been enjoying it. I'm not going to lie. Swimming's been pretty good.
Well, now, Katie Ledecky, it's
swim.
Unbelievable.
She
Nobody
swim.
Else is on the – they can't – they don't have a camera angle wide enough.
She is a swimmer. She is so far ahead. I don't understand how – I really don't – how one person gets so much better than everyone else when they're all – like, these are the best people in the world.
Right.
And so you accept
– well, they're actually kind of not. They're kind of not. Because if you think about it, you can only send so many people from one country.
Yes.
It's very possible that the best eight are all from America.
They have made the argument that the limiting two per country is a bit much. And in track, it's three. Or it's up to three, depending on if you hit the standards. So,
but theoretically, yes. It's a very strong field of competition.
I will say you're right. I think if they went three per sport, it would probably be better. But it does, and that is probably something that gets overlooked, I think, in the Olympic discussion. But it still is mind-numbing that someone can be that much faster than the rest of the people.
What we're talking about in our program this morning is not Olympic success, but Olympic failure. Because 4 years ago –
because failure is really more of the ethos.
Well, think about it, of this program. 4 years ago, Katie Ledecky was Missy Franklin. Missy Franklin won 4 golds in the London Games, and it looked like she was going to be the next great dominating force in American swimming. Fast forward 4 years to Rio, and she's finishing last. Literally finishing last.
Uncomfortable to watch. Not because, I mean, someone's going to finish last. And by the way, there's no shame at finishing last. I've always said, if you can't finish first, why not finish last? Finishing in the middle of the pack is garbage time.
There's been a lot of debate this week about whether it's better to win a silver or a bronze medal. A lot of people think it's better to win a bronze medal than a silver medal.
Ooh, I understand that. The problem is bronze is almost like a, you can buy frying pans that have bronze. Like it feels a very like a utilitarian medal.
To be fair, you can also buy utilitarian things that are made of silver and gold. The point is
No, the silver medalist. That is right there. No. I'm not going to let you get away with that. There are very few people that buy gold-plated appliances of sorts.
Doesn't mean you can't.
You can buy anything. I could buy plutonium if I have enough Russian friends.
I challenge that. You can't buy plutonium. You can't do it.
Am I getting uranium and plutonium confused?
No, you're not getting either of them. I believe, isn't plutonium enriched uranium? Or it might be the other way around.
Look that up, Mike. But what is the difference
between... But either way, you're not getting either of them.
I want the Google search, what is the difference between plutonium and uranium?
Yeah, but we definitely want to... Don't use a center computer, please. We definitely want to make sure...
Oh, my God. I forgot. Now we're on the U.S. watch list. I am actually going on flying tomorrow, so I need to be able to get on an airplane. Don't say something like, Keith Strudler wants to know.
The point about the medal debate is that people think that if you win silver, you lost to the gold medalist. If you win bronze, you got a medal. You won a medal.
You were the first of the last. I mean, of the others. Yeah, I understand that. What is it?
Uranium is enriched plutonium.
Okay. So I was pretty much right.
So I've got a much better shot at getting plutonium, I figure. Because uranium's already like, that's like the king of the heap. That's the good stuff. I probably
you don't have any shot of getting plutonium.
What do I have to do to get plutonium?
It's produced in a nuclear reactor, plutonium.
Is that the only place I can get it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's man-made. You can't just dig it out of a cave somewhere.
It's not on the chart.
It's on that bottom row of the periodic table of elements, the one that man create. It's next to like einsteinium.
It's been a long time since I've perused the chart.
Sticking a shovel into your backyard and
so it's not like gold or iodine.
No. You're not. It doesn't occur naturally in nature.
So this is an expansion, an unnatural expansion of the chemical world.
Do you want to buy plutonium?
Well, no.
I would maybe deny that a little more equivocally.
No, I don't. I have no use. Well, no. I have no use for plutonium, and I actually think it would probably be more of a hindrance, something I have to look after. So I don't think I want plutonium. I don't even know why I was referencing that I might.
Because you said you can buy things made of bronze. Oh. I go, you can also buy things made of gold and silver. And you thought that was so ridiculous that you compared buying something made of gold to buying something made of plutonium.
Right. I can see how.
Because instead of what your default reaction would be to anything I say is, solid point, Jeff. But instead your default reaction is, no, that can't be right.
Well, because
that
it's
can't be
stupid.
Right.
It's stupid.
It's correct.
It's not correct that people, the only person that plates everything in gold is Donald Trump. People do not plate things in gold. And dentists. Dentists do that, okay? But that's it. The rest of us don't. Like
most rappers.
That's true. If I were to get a grill, I might go that route. But I am more Italian than I am a rap star. And I'm not Italian. We've already established this. All right? I mean, I can't. I can't rap. I guess I could.
No, you can't.
No.
But so.
Don't try.
Right. And so exactly, and so so my point is, no, you're not going to gold plate everything. So my problem with the bronze medal, and I don't have a problem with the bronze medal, but I think the obvious thing about it is that the medal just feels kind of like, why not just make it out of tin at that point? Like it's not a special medal. Silver still, like let me put it this way. If I give my wife like some jewelry, silver is still okay. It's not gold. If I give her something, a bronze, she's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, you don't give people bronze things. It's like copper. It's like, what do I do with that? It's like pipes.
Yeah, copper pipes are expensive. Sell them.
Well, copper pipes are expensive.
I know.
This is a true story.
Every crime on like shows like Friday Night Lights are always when guys are going in and stealing copper pipes.
This is a true story. I was out one night. It was a couple years ago. I was out at a bar, a very quiet bar, sitting around. Like, it was one of those bars you have like couches and it's kind of very homey.
Were you alone?
No. Yes, just me by myself on a, couch.
I want to fully conceptualize.
I was with a group of like six people.
Were you on a date?
I was with my girlfriend at the time, but there were like also five or six other people there.
Sure. How long ago was this?
Like 2 or 3 years.
And that girlfriend is gone.
Gone. None of this is relevant to the story.
No. Mike, to fully understand what's going on here, what were you drinking?
Wine. It was a wine bar. See, I like wine. Wine's delicious.
You like wine because you think it makes you have a certain aura around you.
Wine?
Yes, it makes you appear sophisticated. That's why you
do realize wine is one of, if not the most common drinks on the planet.
Right. No, trust him, he's wearing an Italy t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I know my wine. You drink it because you've convinced yourself that you like it, but that's fine.
It's good. You don't like wine?
I'm not much of a drinker.
That's true. So. I've never seen you drink it. You're something of a teetotaler.
I mean, not on ideological grounds. I'm just, you know, I'm just not my thing now.
Long story short, we're out at this bar. Very quiet. There's like some soft piano music in the background. And some.
You know who else doesn't drink? John Frankel.
And then a guy walks in. And goes straight to the bathroom.
Guy walks into a bar. Rabbi walks into the bar.
Goes straight to the bathroom. And maybe 2-3 minutes later, we see him running out of the establishment, being chased by what we assume is the owner, manager, whatever it is. Turns out the guy who walked into the bar went into the bathroom, ripped up the toilet, stole the copper piping, and ran out into the street.
That's the stupidest story I've ever heard. Why would he do that?
Because it's valuable.
How valuable is a copper pipe?
Pretty valuable.
Valuable enough.
Give me get back on the Google and find out how much is copper piping. We look like
I'm going to get it on some watch list by the end of the show.
In the course of Next, I want you to look up what happens if you buy pornography from a foreign country. I just keep looking up the most incendiary things you can find. Where can I buy ammo? How can I lease a tank?
Always want to lease. You definitely don't want to own the tank.
The depreciation of the tank.
Depreciating asset. That's
the minute
exactly
you
right.
drive that tank off the lot. Actually, interesting. I bet your tank is one of the things that doesn't go down particularly in value.
See, I think it would, because if you're in the market for a tank, you want the latest and greatest tank. You want the 2017s.
I understand that, but there have been a lot of countries that are using old American tanks pretty well.
Yeah, and are any of those countries ones that you wouldn't feel that confident in a war against?
Going rate for copper is about like $3 per pound.
But that's a lot. How much copper is he carrying?
Let me tell you what. If you need $50,
yeah.
If you need $50, that $50 means a lot to you.
That's 150. Oh, that's you know 16 pounds a pipe.
Yeah.
But is that where are you selling that? I don't even know where I'd sell copper.
I'm pretty sure you can just go like legally. You can go to like a place.
No one's gonna ask a question.
Well, like you know, you sell gold. You can go to a jewelry store and sell your gold. I'm pretty sure you can do that at like a supply place.
But I figure that's gotta be. People have gotta know it's stolen.
I don't think the people care.
When you come in with...
It's a copper pipe. It's not a Picasso. People aren't going to look at it and go, it's hard to get this.
This looks just like the pipe that they reported missing from that wine bar down the street. You didn't take it from that toilet, did you? No. This is a different pipe. Do I have copper piping in my house?
You probably do. I'd be surprised if you didn't.
Does everyone have copper piping?
Most people.
Most people.
I'm going to get gold-plated piping. That's what I'm going to do. They're like, look, this is not the third place piping. It's not bronze piping. This is gold piping. So at any rate, the silver gold, I get. There's a little bit – there's a tinge of frustration. Although it was one of the things that I heard people talking about this week was when there is a dominant athlete in the sport, it almost takes a little pressure off of everyone because you know you're just winning the silver becomes like winning the gold. Well, when Usain Bolt's running, when Michael Phelps was swimming at his best events, you're like, look, I can't win that.
That's what Ryan Lochte said after he lost to Michael Phelps in the 400 IM or the 200 IM. He was like, if not for Michael Phelps, I might have been the Michael Phelps of swimming, which is an awesome quote if you break it down. But Ryan Lochte, one of the greatest swimmers of all time, only has, you know, so ever, however many gold medals.
He's a Phil Mickelson of swimming.
Not really.
No, because he's not even, because you don't even have that kind of longevity, exactly. And there's only so many sports. You have to go head-to-head in certain things.
And most of Ryan Lochte's gold medals came on relay teams with Michael Phelps.
It's tough. It is tough. It is tough to be Ryan Lochte. Although Ryan Lochte looks like he's doing fine. Got blue hair. He looks happy. I mean, he's a Gator. Michael Phelps had a, I don't say it's not fair, hasn't had a tough life in that regard, but it's not, I don't think it's easy being Michael Phelps.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it's tough. And besides the physical toil that he's gone through, which is none of us could understand, I don't think it's easy having that kind of pressure.
Are there people out there that think it is easy to be the greatest swimmer of all time?
I think there are.
There are people out there that think he just like rolls out of bed and jumps in the pool and it's a wrap.
Eats seven or eight Subways and calls it a day. Yeah, I think most people, we've talked about this before, most people don't recognize the struggle and pressures of being an elite athlete, and they see the spoils of victory.
See, I don't know. I think you're right when you look at sports, you know, football, baseball. I think when you look at sports that are games like that, but swimming isn't so much a sport as a physical punishment. Like you watch swimming, and you're like, this looks physically painful.
And you don't see what they actually do. Swimming is, it is grueling. It is psychological torture and physical torture. I think it's the hardest sport. I mean, cycling comes up there. Cycling's right in that same.
Again, same thing. You look at it, and you know it's not so much a sport as it is just exercise. Like the sport is exercise.
It's intense. It's hours and hours and hours of intense. I mean, you really transform your body. But I don't know. I also don't think people understand the mental trauma. Forget the physical. I mean, the physical is the physical, right? It is what it is. I think it's the mental torture that you have to put yourself through to get to the top of that mountain. And coming back down to the other side is not so easy either. I think people don't understand the challenge of – after you get home, after the lights are off, now kind of what's next, right? And I think that's very hard for these athletes. So, good example, right? I'm going to out my son a little bit. Like, he came home from camp. Yesterday was the last day of camp. He was crying. That's a normal thing, 8-year-old, you know, kids. And then he had the whole bus crying. So everyone's crying. Right? It's sad. Kids come home. You know, you guys. And it's because you have this great experience, and it's over, and then you kind of move into the next thing. And I think that's a normal thing, and then you cry, and then you go get ice cream, and then it's over, and everything's fine. But I think the emotional toll of working towards this moment of I put my entire life into this moment, and even let's say you reach it, and you reach this height, and it is that thing that you've worked for your entire life. When you come back home, and I understand there's some commercials and there's this, but that's it. Like the lights are off. You're sitting in, and Michael Phelps talked about it. You're sitting in your room. And you don't know what to do anymore. I actually think people don't understand the challenges of trying to adapt to that kind of, dare I say, civilian life. Right? It's almost like coming home from like war, from the military. Like it's a very difficult transition.
Have you seen Foxcatcher?
Yes. Great. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It is. I think that's another part of that Olympic. I mean, this is a little different than maybe other professional sports or, you know, traditional professional sports in this country for sure. When you retire, yeah, I mean, the lights are off, and I know it's hard for these guys to say goodbye to the sport, but they still have they can have normal functional lives. A lot of them move into that sport. They coach and they do other things. They commentate. I'm not saying it's easy. I think the Olympics, because the Olympics is one moment. When you are an Olympic athlete, you train for that one moment, and you get all the spotlight, and then you come home, and then it's over. And now what do you do? I just think it's hard.
I think with the Olympics, the money comes into play as well. Obviously, Michael Phelps, he's going to be fine. But your run-of-the-mill Olympian, your person that competes and doesn't medal, or your person that wins one medal, you're not set for life. Like, not only can you can't go home and just live off being like, Michael Phelps
can. What time do I have to get to work tomorrow?
Exactly. You have to figure out and be like, well, I have to do something. Like, I have rent.
Exactly. What time? We open the shop at 8 tomorrow. I can be there. Yeah, I can be there. My arm's a little sore from the kayaking, but I can be there. Yeah, no, I think it's really hard, and I don't think we understand the sacrifice that people go through. And that's not true for – look, I don't think Serena Williams is like, oh, I lost the Olympics.
But the Olympics isn't the pinnacle.
That's
for
what I'm saying.
Williams.
She's just like, whatever. Right. I'll go.
It's another tennis tournament.
I got the Open in a couple weeks.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Thank God yes. I can get out of this country.
That, to me, is actually part of the appeal of the Olympics, is you watch these other sports, the niche sports, the sports you only see in the Olympics, and you realize, like, this is 4 years of someone's life boiling down to this moment.
Yep. That moment. And think about the sports, the ones that drive me, like, really get me uptight, are the ones that are kind of decided in, like, under a minute. Like, they're
yes.
The 100-meter dash. Or the 50 in the water, the 50-meter in the water. Like, you're like, this is a 21-second race. That's it. And by the way, the smallest of mental or physical mistakes, and it's over. If you have a bad start in either of those races, it's over. There's nothing. You know, you're on the 10,000, or let's say beach volleyball, you have a bad moment. You can recover. There is no recovery from a bad miscalculation in those sports that are that short.
Do you remember, I can't remember if it was one Olympics or two Olympics ago, the runner, I also don't remember what race it is, but false started twice and was disqualified, didn't even get to run it.
Yes.
Like, you trained 4 years for this moment.
Yes.
And you don't even get to do it.
Yep. Y'all, it's terrible. It's funny. It's so terrible, it's funny. As we were discussing, a lot of things, you can make anything funny. You don't believe that.
I don't believe that. I believe you can make a joke about anything. I don't believe you can make anything funny.
What's the difference between a joke and funny?
You can make funny jokes about unfunny situations. You can't make unfunny situations funny.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think you make anything funny.
You can make a joke about any situation. You can't make
an unfunny situation
funny.
Now we're getting into semantics at this point.
Other topics on the program this morning. Second hour. We're going to talk about doping the Olympics. This has been a big topic because, there's that U.S. swimmer. Wag your finger at that Russian swimmer.
What's her name?
Lily something.
King.
Okay. The Russian swimmer.
Oh, my God. Just admit you didn't know it.
The Russian swimmer okay. is Yulia something.
Efimova.
Efimova?
No, it's Efimova.
I like Efimova better. Because if you think about it, Efimova is a Bond villain name.
It's
is the name you want your Russian to have.
Actually, I mean, I rarely get my names right. It's Efimova. I had to write a column on this.
You may be right.
No, I am right.
You may be right.
I am. No.
But let's all agree.
No.
Let's all agree that Efimova is a better name. That's the name you want your Russian nemesis to have.
Efimova. I know this because I recorded a commentary for this, for, you know, NPR thing. And then I was like, I don't think that's right. Then I went and listened to it. I was like, no, it's not. Efimova. Yulia Efimova.
Very well might be correct.
It's a hard, by the way. Our good friend Gary Sussman, mm-hmm. He's running the press conferences for the U.S. Open. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, he's Russian names. Like, he is really sweating it. He's like, tennis is not such an easy sport. He's like, boy, the NBA was a lot easier. Right? Get a couple foreign guys.
We're also going to talk about Alex Rodriguez. Complicated legacy that he leaves behind because of doping.
He got quite an applause, too, didn't he?
I mean, it's easy to, you know. Easy to do when it's clap, exactly. Exactly. Still a very, very complicated legacy.
I think people are clapping because he's leaving too. They're like, yeah, we can clap now, get out.
I think there's a lot of that's right. Yeah. Thank you for being done.
This isn't the
take your money and go.
This isn't like Jeter, like, come on, one more year, one more. This is
we'd like you to leave now. Party's over. We gotta take a break. We come back, we're gonna talk about failure in the Olympics. Missy Franklin, did she miss out on her chance to cash in on success? That's ahead in the classroom, because class is in session here on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. You can go ahead and like The Classroom on Facebook, ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_classroom. Archives are available, podcast section of iTunes. ESPN The Classroom is what you search for. I'm Jeff, he's Keith, Mike Wallace.
We just had a very uncomfortable conversation.
I didn't think it was uncomfortable at all.
It wasn't uncomfortable for me.
Let's tell the people what we said. We were talking about Alex Rodriguez, his legacy.
Sure.
And then we kind of roped that into how Derek Jeter was different. I mean, yes. Derek Jeter got a year-long send-off. Joe Girardi wouldn't even let Alex Rodriguez play third base in his last game until the last inning. And then you go, I don't understand. I go, Derek Jeter, not a bad life. And you go, I don't understand the Derek Jeter thing. And I go, what is there not to understand?
I just,
and you go, well, how can he get any woman that he wants?
I'm not
and I go, He's a multi-million dollar shortstop for the New York Yankees who looks like a male model.
I feel like
what about this doesn't make sense to you?
I feel like when you've taken that all out of context.
Mike, did anything I say in that summation, was any of that inaccurate? Right.
No. Did you see his face when we said, oh, who's he married to? Hannah Davis. What's she do? Supermodel.
Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition cover model.
That's great. Good for him. I hope it's Rocky. No, I just here's my problem. You want to know what my problem is?
Yes.
My problem is I feel like he's taking advantage of the fact that his life is so much better than ours. Like, it's almost like he's throwing it in our face.
Why
good.
He
should.
Yeah.
He should. If your life is that good, you should live it the
That's
way Derek Jeter lives it.
B.
You should have the Park Avenue penthouse.
I feel like everyone should have some tinge of misery in their life. That's A. Right? You should be more like the common folks.
He struck out sometimes.
That's
misery enough.
True. Yeah. Not, you got to look at it this way. Not only did he date Scarlett Johansson and Halle Berry.
Did he date Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah. Mariah Carey, the list goes on and on. But he also broke up with them at some point. He also lost them. So that's a little misery.
But his own choosing.
Maybe. We don't know. We don't know.
I'm a big fan of Scarlett Johansson. I think a lot of people are.
Absolutely.
I saw her in a bagel shop in New York once.
Really?
Yeah. A few years ago. Was she
stealing copper pipe?
Was she purchasing plutonium?
She was doing an undercover deal with Yulia Efimova, her Russian contact. I want I can't do the Russian accent. I can't do it. I can't do any accents. All my accents sound exactly the same. They're
same
like
thing.
A kind of bizarre hybrid of European, Middle Eastern, Asian. It all comes together, right? New York. I can't do anything. So, but then, I don't know. There's something like I always feel like this is the other thing. I always feel like when someone's like, it seems like it's that perfect, it's not.
Well, look, everybody's got their problems. Now, some people's problems, less important than others. It's just a fact.
Sure.
Derek Jeter, if you have to stack up a life, from the public perception of Derek Jeter, doesn't have too many big problems.
No.
Seems like his life is pretty good.
I feel like he's given, and this is me being a bitter, angry jerk.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just get, this is not quality commentary here right now. This is not good radio. This is me just being a bitter, mean-spirited, angry jerk.
I actually think that's great radio. Now continue.
I'm just an angry, disappointed, dejected, sad man. So my point is,
before he continues, it's a good time to point out Derek Jeter, 42 years old, I believe. His supermodel wife, 27.
I'm just angry. I'm angry.
You just fail to recognize anybody higher on the social ladder.
No, I don't.
You
no.
do. You don't understand why you aren't married to a Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model with millions of dollars.
That's not
and true. Houses all over the country.
That's not true. That's not the kind of depth that I'm looking for. It's not attractive to me. It's not what I'm looking for in a woman. Really, I'm not looking for anything, of course, because I'm married. So I'm not actually looking, not actively looking. I'm saying as an observational, more of a kind of a research perspective.
I feel like I know you pretty well. And I feel like the only things in life that you ever talk about,
mm-hmm.
wealth and fame.
They're up there.
I feel like those are the only things you ever talk about wanting.
Right. And you're suggesting that Derek Jeter has both.
I'm suggesting that you go and you say, that's not what I'm looking for. And I'm like, so you're not looking for a wealthy, famous person to share your life with.
It's true. She'd be like my female John Frankel. Is that fair? Like,
it is fair. It's actually scarily fair. It's a very apt comparison. For our listeners who don't know, John Frankel, HBO Real Sports correspondent, Keith Strudler's life mate.
It's
not true because it's sort of a one-sided
relationship.
No, it's
not true.
You really like him.
No.
He just sort of strings you along.
That's awkward how you're doing this. This is awkward. We have a very close friendship, and I feel like, you know, if he ever hears this, it really will be awkward.
He's sitting right now in Aspen, Colorado, wherever he happens to be. Yep. Woke up early, streaming our program, foxradio.net, silently nodding along. Be like, That young man gets it.
By the way,
he sees through the charade.
How great would you feel if John Frankel is sitting in his chalet up in Aspen, waking up early to listen to our program?
I'd feel fine.
I'd feel great about it.
Here's the thing: if John Frankel's listening to our program, or Joe from Beacon is listening to our program, I love them all the same.
Nope.
Thank you, friends.
It's not true.
Great to have you
That's
along
not
this morning.
True. That's not. Who do you want to spend a week with? John Frankel or Joe from Beacon?
Joe
by the way, Joe Beacon happens to be my neighbor. Joe lives two houses down.
So
he's a great guy.
Tell me
great
more
guy.
About Joe.
Joe's a great guy.
Well, see, Joe seems like a good man.
The electrician, like high-end electrician, does a lot of install security systems. Really helpful guy to have around.
Seems like a good job.
Oh, he's great. He's great. Great. Joe's the best. If you happen to be listening, Joe, he is Italian.
So, did you get that shirt from him?
Nope, I did not. I did not. So we were talking about Missy Franklin?
We need to get to the bottom of why you don't understand Derek Jeter.
I
don't get it.
I just want
what
him
don't
to,
you get?
I want him to settle into a normal, miserable life like the rest of us and stop pretending he's the only guy who's never done steroids and he's so much better than all the rest of us.
You're a hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm just, yes, okay, so he's talented, and he worked really hard, and he had posters up in his room, and he went to batting practice, and he got up, and he ate the right foods, and God, he became the best baseball player in the world, and he's on the Yankees, and he's a captain, and he's real popular, and everyone loves him, and then he gets to date really attractive, famous people, and now he's got a supermodel wife. I get our good. All right. All right, good for you.
He said with tears streaming down his face.
It's good for you, all right? We all have our thing. I mean, right? I'm a really good typist. Like, I mean, we all have our things, right? I mean, like, that's great. Like, just stop. It's enough. Here's
a topic you're going to be much more comfortable with.
Do you understand do you understand my frustrations?
No, because I'm not a hater.
I like people with a little more flaws.
Good. Because here's a topic you're going to like. Failure.
Bingo.
Missy Franklin, as a 17-year-old in the 2012 London Olympics, was America's sweetheart. She won 4 gold medals at the time, one of only 2 swimmers to ever do that in an Olympic Games. She was the next big thing.
Phelps was the other.
No, a female swimmer.
Was it Janet Evans?
I have no idea.
She only did half your research. Janet Evans, I believe.
She was the next big thing in swimming.
Sanders?
I have no idea. You could
look that up
names
there.
As much as you'd like
what
to
exactly
name names.
What exactly am I looking up?
Women who won 4 gold medals in swimmers.
Everybody thought that she was going to dominate the sport for the next 12, 20 years.
At 17. And I think we'd seen Michael Phelps do it. And she took a very different trajectory, though.
True. But, I mean, keep in mind, Missy Franklin was in 2012 what Katie Ledecky has been this year. She wasn't just winning. She was crushing people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She was the best swimmer in the world by a lot, and she was young. And so she seemed to have nothing but upside.
And now, 4 years later, she's kind of one of the sad stories of the Olympic Games because she has clearly lost her level.
Yeah, and so what do you say? Look, I think it's fair to say we all recognize that she is still a world-class swimmer. And we all recognize
– without a doubt.
And in no way, I think should – at least from my perspective, should this be seen or taken as some kind of condemnation of her efforts, her abilities. She's worked really hard, but she's not the same swimmer she was. People have ups and they have downs in their athletic careers. And there's reasons for that.
Here's the thing in swimming. Actually, it's one of the more compelling things about sports, how it can just sort of come and go. I mean, you see this in baseball all the time, especially with pitchers. One year you win the Cy Young Award, and the next year you can't get anybody out.
Yep. Baseball's crazy. I mean, football, it's a little bit more athletic, and you either get injured or you're not. And basketball, to some degree, there's athleticism. You're either injured or you're not. Baseball, it's nuts.
Literally, you wake up one day and don't have it anymore. It's unbelievable. And that, like you say, is what's happened to Missy Franklin. She's still great. But she isn't the top. And the problem in a sport like swimming, there's really room for the top.
Yep. There's no exemptions, mid-tier exemptions.
The fifth best American swimmer isn't getting an endorsement deal.
Fifth best American swimmer might literally want to quit. I knew the third best swimmer in an event who quit because he said, I can't make the Olympics. There's no point going on. So there is no – you're right. There is absolutely no space for the – the 12th guy on the bench in swimming, unless you just happen to really love swimming.
Now, Missy Franklin, when she was 17 years old and dominated the 2012 London Games, had all of these offers come her way.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors saying that she had about $5 million in endorsement money sitting on the table.
That's right.
Which she did not take.
She
turned
down.
Wanted to maintain her amateur eligibility and compete in NCAA swimming at Cal.
She wanted to have a college swimming experience. She could have still gone to college and swam, but she would have had to have swam on her own as a professional. She would have been able to take the money, swam on her own, could have attended college. But she chose instead to actually have a traditional collegiate swimming experience. Won several NCAA titles as a swimmer for Cal. But that meant that for those 2 years that she did that, she didn't do that the entire run. She did it for 2 years, so she was able to then focus on the Olympics and get some endorsement money leading up to the games at least. So she has been able to capitalize a little bit on the front end of the Olympics, and you still see some Missy Franklin commercials, but it's nothing like she would have had in the immediate aftermath of that. So essentially, you could make the argument that those 2 years of college swimming cost her, you know, $4 or $5 million, if you wanted to make that argument. Now, there are probably some reasons why she slowed down. First thing, I think this would be something that we need a physiologist to really get into a little bit more. Women's swimming is a little different than men's swimming, and you do see men peak a little bit later in their careers, and women are more likely, at least historically, to have had more success younger in their careers. And that's not unlike tennis as well. That could be sociological, and that could also be physiological. There are just body changes that happen between the ages of 17 and 21, 22, that could affect you. And swimming is a body physiology chemistry sport. I mean, the way that you gut through the water, the amount of body mass that you bring through the water, all of those things. As your body changes, your stroke needs to change, all of that, right? And so there are certain strokes. I think breaststroke in particular was a stroke that tended to privilege younger athletes. So we know it could be challenging to maintain that success. And you've seen very few women. I mean, there's Dara Torres, but there aren't that many that have gone on. In all fairness, there are not many on the men's side that have gone on that long. There's also the argument that swimming in college and all that came with that brought a lot of challenges and changes the way that she swam, and her coaching changed, and she wasn't focused singularly on her events but rather on making her team better, and that may have taken away from some of her training. It could also be that just the mental toil of trying to repeat was more than she could handle.
2 points. First, if you are a top athlete in any sport and you are faced with the choice to take a lot of money or to take no money and prolong your amateur eligibility for any reason.
It's a big risk.
Take the money.
For all you for all you Hudson Valley resident area Olympic athletes, take the cash.
Or NFL draft picks.
NFL draft picks, NBA.
Anybody.
Yeah, we all
know. If anyone is offering you money, take it. Take it.
Missy Franklin was in an, I don't want to say a unique, but unusual situation that she wasn't. Her family has done quite well. She didn't. I'm not defending that. I'm just saying
it's the same situation Kate Ledecky is going to be in, because Kate Ledecky is going to Stanford, but the Ledecky family has tons of money.
So there's a different psychology. I think the risk reward. If you grow up in relative poverty, it's not even something you think about, because that's why when they're like, should he enter the NBA draft? He's going to be seventh. He might be third next year. I'm like, who cares? Seventh is fine. First round is fine. A guaranteed paycheck is all they're looking for right now, right? So we understand that. I think the psychology is a little bit different for athletes who come from relative wherewithal, because they don't think about it in the same way.
I mean, I don't know enough about the Franklin family to know how much of a difference $5 million, let's just keep using that number as the base, I would have made. But I can't imagine that $5 million would not have been okay.
I'm sure $5 million, that is legacy wealth. I mean, that is
theoretically, if you manage it right, can live the rest of your life and never work with
$5 million. Apparently, you can do it on less.
I can do it on three.
What's my number?
Ridiculous.
10.
But again, you have a family to support. So your number, actually, if you think of the people in your family, your number per person is less.
Yeah, but some of them are small. So
they don't eat as much.
they don't drive cars.
But take the money. Take the money.
You
can go to college later.
Yes, but I imagine you might have a family that also says you don't. This college swimming experience is going to be something you'll cherish for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you know what else you can cherish for the rest of your life? $5 million. Well, take the money.
You know, but I agree with you, and I think any advisor would tell you the same thing. On the other hand, Michael Phelps was miserable. He went home from the Olympics. I mean, he was two DUIs. He was miserable, right? And he said that. He said he was miserable.
The money does not make you happy.
So, but Michael Phelps never had a traditional team swimming experience.
Right. The money is not going to make you happy. You don't take the money to guarantee your personal happiness and well-being. You take the money because you will maybe never have the chance to get the money again.
I 100% agree with you. My only other the counter argument to that is how many, and look, this is could all be undone if the NCAA would just change its archaic rules.
And that is point number two.
Right.
Point number two is it is ludicrous.
Yes, it's ludicrous.
Ludicrous. Yes. That Missy Fraggett had to make this choice.
Yes. We all get that. We all get that. All right. So let's just take that as a given because we're not going to get into a rant about the NCAA.
No. Yes, we are. Ludicrous. Ludicrous. If you play guitar, if you're a guitar player.
All right, yes. We all know this. All right. We've done this.
You get to attend class.
All right.
You could even attend music class.
Okay.
And then on the weekends, if you're good.
Class is in session.
You can get paid money
Michael Wallace,
play the guitar.
Michael Wallace's eyes are rolling their eyes.
But you can't do it if you're a swimmer or
we
a football player.
Hot takes.
Or a whatever. It's
we get
stupid.
It.
It's stupid.
We talked about this for like 5 years. All right, we get it.
And it's as stupid then as it is now. It's just stupid. Why is it like this?
Why does Derek Jeter get to date any super?
We've been over that because he's a millionaire who plays for the Yankees, who looks like a male model and is beloved by everyone. Those are the four reasons.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of things about life that don't make sense, all right? A lot.
But neither of these are them. The NCAA being stupid makes perfect sense. That's what the NCAA is. Derek Jeter dating supermodels also makes perfect sense.
I mean, I guess.
You know what wouldn't make sense? If Derek Jeter was married to the checkout girl at the Duane Reade on the corner. That wouldn't make sense.
That was offensive. That was offensive.
To who?
The checkout girl.
Well, you know what? Harsh dose of reality to her. If she thinks she's going to marry Derek Jeter.
That's part of the appeal.
I don't walk around thinking that one day I'm going to marry the cover model of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. I would be delusional if I thought that. I don't think that.
If you can dream it, you can do it. If you can dream it, you can do it. That's what I'm saying. So, I know we're going to be moving on pretty soon, but I'll close it with this. Yes, you do have to think financially what makes more sense. She took a gamble that, look, the money might still be there, right? And then, by the way, she still wouldn't recoup all of it. But how many professional athletes look back and say the happiest point of my life was when I was a college athlete? This is not in defense of NCAA policies, nor is it saying I think Missy Franklin necessarily made the right decision. But how many athletes say the greatest experience of my life was my college athletic experience?
My counterargument to that is how many people, period, say the best 4 years of my life were the 4 years I spent in college. It's not unique to athletes. College is awesome.
Sure.
College is awesome.
But here's
the thing. Missy Franklin could have still gone to college. She wouldn't have been on the swim team.
There would have been a very different experience.
It would have been the experience that 99.9% of people have about college, most of whom leave it and go, that was great.
Yeah, but you're not as cool as those of us that did college sports that have an even better experience.
You were on the Cornell track and
team. Oh, that's right. That's right. Track and cross country teams. That's right. That's right. I have a bond that you'll never understand.
Short of being the guy who hits the NCAA tournament winning shot or an SEC starting quarterback, there just aren't that many positions in college sports that are that cool to regular people.
A kinship and a fellowship that you will never understand. So but you do hear this from lots of athletes after college. They say, this is a job, but that was really fun. Yeah. My best friend.
You also hear that from regular people.
How many University of Kentucky basketball players go back and buy a house in Lexington because they want to try to relive their moments? I mean, that's not unusual. And so she wanted to have a normal, or not normal, but a great swimming experience. Something
cost
she'd work
$5
for.
$5 million.
Well, that's how much you know, the cost of college are rising. They're out of control. They're out of control.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we're bringing back one of our best segments of all time. We're doing Mad Libs. Keith Struller, you may remember when Kobe Bryant announced his retirement in an open letter to basketball. We had Keith Struller Mad Lib his own retirement letter. He took Kobe's letter. We replaced some of the words because obviously it would have been plagiarism. We did it Mad Lib style. And now Nike has responded to Kobe as basketball.
And I haven't seen this letter, so I think
this is true. Basketball has responded to Kobe Bryant's letter, and Keith Struller is going to Mad Lib it. That's ahead in the classroom. We're on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. This is the Classroom. It's your weekly smart look at sports. A couple months ago, you may remember, when Kobe Bryant announced his retirement from the NBA, he did so by writing an open letter to the game of basketball. We, here in the classroom, because we try not to come up with original content.
Nope. That was, by the way, ran in the Players Tribune, I believe.
Correct. We believe that good artists create, but great artists steal. And we decided when Kobe Bryant announced his retirement that we should be prepared for Keith Struller to announce his. So we took Kobe Bryant's retirement letter, but we molded it so that it would fit Keith Struller.
And by the way, and if we were a real radio show, that actually we would play our audio.
Play this audio. But that's not what we do here.
Can't show up 10 minutes before the show and do that.
And the way that we changed Kobe's retirement letter to Keith's retirement letter was by mad-libbing it.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with what a Mad Lib is, it's that game you'd play as a kid where there's a story written, but certain words are removed, and you have to replace those words with the part of speech that they are, like a verb, a noun, an adjective,
sure,
what have you. So we did that with Kobe Bryant's retirement letter. We never thought that basketball would respond to Kobe.
No.
Not for the least of reasons that basketball is not a person. However,
and
thanks,
no one was asking for a response.
Thanks
either.
To our good friends at Nike, this is 100% true. Basketball has responded to Kobe Bryant.
Sure.
You can read the official letter on the Nike Basketball Twitter page. Or you can read the response that basketball wrote to Keith Struggler. Well, I guess you can't really read it, but you can hear right now because we're going to Mad Lib it.
We maybe someone will transcribe it. So this is going to be now my response to Kobe Bryant.
No, this is actually basketball's response to you.
Oh.
Yes, because your first letter was to basketball.
Sure. That's so right. I got it. Yes.
So we're going to put this Mad Lib together.
How long is this thing?
It's not that long.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm assuming we're going to tease this over the break.
What we're going to do is we got to get the words that you're going to use, and then we're going to insert them, and then on the other side of our top of the hour timeout, we're going to come back and we're going to have
basketball's
response
to me
to Keith Struller
on my retirement.
Now let us begin. I need a verb, please. I need it a little faster.
Flying.
Okay, I like it. I need a past tense verb. In fact, I need three of them.
Oh, God. Sang. Cried. Threw up.
I need an adjective, please.
Smelly.
I need another past tense verb. Great radio.
It's the worst.
This is the part of the segment where we sort of lose it a little bit.
All right, so what am I giving you? Past
tense verb, please.
Unzipped.
Okay, I like it. It actually could work pretty well. Another adjective.
Sorry, I'm having a hard time. Blue.
I'm reading the thing. I know what that's going to be. A noun. It's a person, place, thing, or idea.
Sure, a noun. State Park.
Now, this one's kind of weird. I need a plural historic noun.
A plural historic. The White Coats. The Red Coats.
Red Coats.
Yeah.
Okay. So first one was State Park. This is Red Coats. That works. I need an era of time.
The Ice Age.
The Ice Age, sure. A noun, please.
Boombox.
That's a good one. Adjective.
Let's see. Wiry.
Wiry. I like it. A place.
A place. In between the cushions of my couch.
Okay, it's going to take a while to wipe. where are we here? Noun.
Noun. Carburetor.
Carburetor. I should have got to spell that. Past tense verb, please.
Smoked.
Smoked. Let's see. Adjective. Two of them.
Let's see. An adjective. Two of them. Bright.
Bright.
And shaky.
Shaky. Speed this up just a little bit. Plural things.
Did Nike write a novelette?
Longer than plural things.
Plural things.
Yes.
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs.
That's
it. Place.
My therapist's couch.
You're big on couches today.
Did I say couch before? Yeah. Oh yeah, I did. Yes.
Therapist couch. All right, we're almost done. Four body parts. Four of them. Hit me.
Liver.
Liver.
Nostrils.
Nostrils.
Cuticles.
Cuticles.
Keep this clean. And buttocks.
Buttocks.
I like myself. Keep this clean.
Buttocks.
And then come up with rear end. Where are we here? Past tense verb, please. Three of them.
Oh, God. Slid.
Slid.
Crashed.
Crashed.
Kissed.
Kissed. And finally, a noun.
A noun, just any noun.
That's it.
Tuxedo.
Tuxedo. Got to make that plural. I'm sorry, we're going with tuxedos.
Okay.
All right, so you're done. You've given us the words.
Tough. Yeah.
You've given us the words that we need to put together basketball's response to your retirement letter.
Sure.
And when we come back on the other side of this timeout, you're going to hear it.
And we all giggle like school children.
I hope so. We don't know if it's going to be funny or if it's going to be weird.
Can we get some mood music underneath it?
We're going to work on that during the break. We're going to work on Mike Wallace finding a little bit of mood music. Do you think people listening right now are excited to hear this, or do you think they're like, what the heck is going on?
I think I don't know what they think. I think they think that maybe the station switched from an ESPN affiliate to something else.
The good news is, the funny part of this segment is happening after the break. So if you just endured that last 8 minutes,
the payoff's coming.
It's coming. So
yeah.
Stay tuned. More of the classroom after this. Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. We got Pink Panthered. Our commercials gave us the hook, and it could happen again. But for now, welcome back to the classroom.
It's unnerving.
It is. It's weird.
Something. We've got a technical issue here. You know, does anyone open up their issues more than we do?
No. Well, we don't. There is no fourth wall with us.
You're part of our family. If we have a problem, we're all in it together.
And just to let you in on what's going on, we control in our studio when we fire the commercials, when we take our breaks, and when those commercials play. At least we used to. Now it seems like they just sort of go when they want, as happened there. But
wouldn't that be a great way to do it, though, where we don't know
you
it's
don't
coming?
You don't know. It's like a grab bag. Now, the good news is it seems like we're back.
Yes.
Well, that might be good. It's good news for us. Might not be great news for you.
Glad
anyway.
You enjoyed that interlude.
Before we went to break, we were in the process of reading Basketball's response to Keith Strudler's retirement, which we created in Mad Lib format. We did not get very far, so we're just going to take it back to the top. Square one. This is Basketball's response to Keith Strudler. Letter written on Nike's Twitter account this week.
Again, saying almost far.
Dear Keith, I got your letter. As I'm sure you are aware, you were not the first to fly in love with me. There were others who sang and cried. Some threw up smelly. Most unzipped blue. I watched them all come and go, because I've seen it all. Every state park. From redcoats to the Ice Age. See? I know what a boombox looks like. I know what it takes. I know it's not for everybody. So yeah, I was wiry. Skeptical that a kid from in between my couch cushions could take me places I'd never been. Skeptical your carburetor could inspire nations and generations. So I tested you. From day one, I tested you. I smoked everything I had at you. I wanted to see if draft day would brighten you or shake you. I wanted to see if those space balls in your therapist's couch would be a shot to your confidence. I wanted to see if a broken liver and a banged up nostril and separated cuticles and a torn buttocks would lessen your love. But they deepened it. God. You didn't have to tell me you slid past me. You showed me. You showed us. I have crashed many, but have been kissed by few. Thank you. Basketball. P.S. I didn't think you had tuxedos in you. But I've been wrong before.
Are we almost at the end of the song?
We could let this play and just let people digest. Just digest.
Drink that in, America.
So that's it. That's basketball's mad-libbed response to your mad-libbed retirement letter from basketball.
Is it bad that all it takes to get us into just hysteria of laughter is a game that's played by, like, 7-year-olds?
By children. By children. Now, I will say, there were some great ones in there. Some threw up smelly. That was good. The best one, nothing was better. So, yeah, I was wiry. Skeptical a kid from between my couch cushions could take me places I've never been.
Wait, I like the, what about the space balls on my therapist's couch?
That one wasn't bad either.
I've smoked them all?
I smoked everything I had at you. That one wasn't bad either.
It actually worked out all right. Oh, that was pretty good.
So that's it?
Oh, my God. God, that makes me laugh. It's really sad that makes me laugh that much. I mean, imagine if I actually sat at home with one of those books.
I feel like you would. Well, first of all, you have children, so you have a perfect excuse to.
Yes.
And I mean, just... I don't have any kids. Is not the purpose of having children so you can do things like build Legos again?
We talked a little bit about this last night about, is the point of having kids just so you can relive your childhood?
Right. Because I don't have
this
kids.
Is why you want your kids to go to the same college you did. You're like, I'll come up and visit.
Relive my glory days. I did a thing once, like a volunteer thing where you go into an elementary school classroom and you read to the kids.
Sure.
Except I only read...
I could see that going poorly, by the way.
Actually went exceptionally well.
Oh, I could see you being like, just being
like
a little
bit of a drill sergeant. Most of the people that come in are like, all right, kids, what do you want to read? Not me. I walked in there and I was like, we're reading Curious George.
Yeah, well, that's
what I want to read.
That's what kids love. Yeah, they love to be told what they want. No, like, most children love that.
I was
don't
like,
give them choices.
I was like, listen, kids, today, it's the Berenstain Bears.
You're not going to get to walk into work and decide what you want to do, so why should we let you believe you're going to do that now?
And I had a great time doing that, because, again, I, as a 29-year-old man, cannot go to Barnes & Noble and sit down with a nice Curious George book. I just can't do it.
I've read a lot of Curious George.
And isn't it great?
Well, you can get it online, though. You can get it online.
Yeah, but that's not the
You want to hold the book.
You need it. You're right. You need to read it. You need to show the pictures. You need to do a special voice for the man in the yellow hat. You need to really get into it.
I mean, look, the whole thing with Curious George is weird. It's a weird story.
It's a weird story. I mean, but all children's books are weird stories.
Yeah, but this is it's just weird. The whole colonialism thing, it just feels weird. The whole thing. I wonder about a lot of the books that you wonder, like, could they ever have been recreated, obviously, today? And most of them, you're like, no, they couldn't write that today. Like, you know, these books that are kind of classics, they don't have You couldn't sit down and pen those today.
Of course you could.
Eh, I think they'd be offensive.
I don't think
the bar.
So.
The Elephant King.
By the way, what's an elephant? What's an elephant doing just, you know, coming down the Champs-Élysées?
Serious point about our cartoon leaders.
Okay.
How come they don't wear pants?
And it is an interesting point. Because, I mean, I don't want to be graphic here. They're not wearing pants. I'm not seeing any parts. Like, right? I mean, it's so, because you'd think that could get it pretty, you know, pretty racy. But there's nothing there. And so, I agree. They do take a lot of liberties. Like, I mean, let's go, how do they go? Like, like, we don't get to that part of the, but that's true in every, like, we don't see bathroom habits, of, like, in movies. Like in action movies.
This was, I think, the greatest critique of. Remember the TV show 24, which was an entire 24 episodes. Each episode was an hour of the day.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer never stopped to pee. that's a serious criticism.
Like, you also want at some point where they're like, "Where's Jack Bauer? I'm in here.
Shouldn't have had the bean burrito.
Nope. Give me like 10 minutes. I'll be out." And just have that be the first 10 minutes of the episode?
I thought 24 was an awesome show.
Jack's coming out soon?
Two serious problems. He never stopped to go to the bathroom, and his cell phone battery never died.
Oh, well, you could probably deal with that if you get a good, you know. There's probably a technological solution.
But he didn't
have
a Mophie.
Maybe he was wearing
This was pre-iPhone days. There were no Mophies.
Maybe he was wearing, like, a bag or something like that.
A bag?
You know, so like a urine bag.
Oh, a colostomy bag.
Oh, okay. Get all hot.
I thought you were
talking
about a bag for the cell phone. I was like, I'm sorry, what, like a power pack?
So that's where we are.
Let's talk about one of the big stories of the Olympics up to this point, and that is American swimmer Lily King wagging her finger, Dikembe Mutombo style, at Russian swimmer Yulia Efimova. Or perhaps, as I believe it should be pronounced, Efimova.
You're wrong.
Again, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm saying it's better if it's Efimova.
See, even that was a rhetorical. Say you're wrong.
First of all, I don't know that you're right.
No, that's not true. I am right.
You might be. You might be.
No.
You might be.
I hate it when people do this. I hate it when people say, when you are right, they're like, you might be right.
You very well might be.
No, I am right.
You might be.
No.
You may be. All I'm saying, our good friends and colleagues, Mike and Mike, when they were talking about it, they pronounced Efimova. So were they wrong?
Yes.
Mike Greenberg is never wrong.
And now I can't even remember how to pronounce it.
Efimova,
it is it. That's right.
But it should be Efimova.
But did Mike and Mike really get it wrong?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Or did they?
Yes. how much would it cost? How much would you need to get paid to change the enunciation of your last name?
My name is pronounced differently depending on where I am in this country or Canada.
No, but for you to actually.
How much do I need to get paid?
Yes.
How much are you offering me? Like to change it from Brault to Bro, which is how it's pronounced in Canada?
Yes, for you to now start walking around and being like, all right, you're not going to say your name Brault anymore. You have to say Bro.
Not much. If anybody offered me any sum of money, I'd probably do it.
$10. Stuff.
Sure, because that's like a correct pronunciation of the name.
You would just change the way that you enunciate your last name for $10.
Yeah.
Mike?
I don't care that much. But it's different for me because my name, like, it's still a correct pronunciation. Like, if Mike Wallace would be like, all right, Mike, we're going to change yours to
Wallace.
like cool. that's just ridiculous. Like, mine isn't ridiculous.
Mike Wallace? Oh, my God, that's great.
I like that.
Mike.
Let's do it.
Because every time he comes in, they're like, Michael Wallace? It's Wallace?
Exactly. See, like, with me, it would be just like it's actually pronounced this way, which would still be correct. Like, in French, A-U-L-T is
pronounced. Well, your name is spelled G-E-O-F-F instead of as opposed to the correct spelling of J-E-F-F.
I agree. Yes, my parents and I have had this discussion many times.
Why did you do this to
Why
me?
Did you get it wrong?
Now, have you? How much would it cost for us to make you say, oh, I'm sorry, it's G-off?
So this actually really bothers me. What doesn't bother me is when people say Geoff, when they like think that that's how it's pronounced, because everybody I've ever met in my life, that's what they call me.
Geoff?
Yeah. That's what everybody calls me. Like my whole life.
Geoff?
Yeah. That's the only thing I've ever had close to a nickname, except it's not a nickname. It's just a mispronunciation of my own name.
All right, so your new on-air name, for apparently for $10, is Geoff Bro.
Well, no. The first name we're not changing for $10. The last name I don't care about because, again, it's still
you don't
correct.
Care, but you pronounce it that way your entire life.
Well, I just picked up the pronunciation that was passed down to
That's
me,
as most people do.
Yeah. So would I be the one to make a change for some financial gain? Yeah, I would.
That's weird. You have no loyalty to anything.
It's the same name, pronounced correctly.
But you don't believe in anything.
Believe in lots of things.
What do you believe in? Tell me what you believe in. Tell me one thing you believe in.
It's a great question. What do
I
believe in?
Tell me one thing that you – this is
– Gravity. I believe in gravity.
Oh, that's not something you believe in. That's just a physical science.
I believe in it. I believe that science is correct.
Okay. I believe a rock is a rock, but that's not –
Good. You believe in rocks. You believe in geology. Here's the great thing about science. True whether or not you believe in it.
Well, I'm saying I want an ideology, something you believe in.
An ideology that I believe in.
That you would give your life for.
Oh, nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you'd give your life for.
Oh,
either.
Yes.
What?
I would.
What?
Freedom.
You can't even say it without laughing.
I am. Whenever we applaud for, like, soldiers who give their lives so we can enjoy freedom, I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you. Because I wouldn't do it. God knows. I'd be like, yes, yes, you can come into my house. Yes, you can monitor every movement I take. Yep, I couldn't. I wouldn't fight for freedom. I couldn't do. I don't. But what do you believe in strongly?
Education, importance of education, rational thought.
It's not a belief.
Of course, it is.
It's not a belief. It's like saying I believe in the sun and the stars. I believe in light.
To be fair, hard to believe in the stars because we're looking at ones that aren't there anymore. That's literally lying to you.
Is that true? Yeah, because it takes so long for the light to get back.
Or you're looking up at a star that's not there.
How long is that transfer?
Depends how far away the star is.
Well, let's just say your average star I'm looking at.
While,
give me a number.
Do I look like?
Well, you made
I can give you one number. Sun. It takes 8 minutes.
Sun's still there.
Sun's also pretty bright.
Yeah.
In fact,
very close to us.
The closest star.
Yes.
Some of these stars are really, really far away.
No, I understand.
Look at the size of the sun versus the size of a tiny star that you see when you look up on a clear night.
You don't have to explain to me.
Clearly I do. You're sitting over there like, tell me how long. Well, how long is it? Explain it to me. You have to explain it to me. And now I'm explaining it to you, and you're like, whoa, you don't have to explain it to me.
You don't have to explain to me that the sun is closer than the Big Dipper. All right, I get that. All right?
Big Dipper's not a star. It's a collection
series of stars.
I
understand that, too. So I took 2 semesters of astronomy in college.
Wow, 2.
I got
basically, you're basically Neil deGrasse Tyson over here.
That was a horrible experience for me. So how far away are these stars? That's what I really want to know.
They're not close.
And Mike's, I thought he was going to give me some real information. He's like, he tells me how far the sun is. I know the sun.
Do you really want me to die?
Sun's barely a real star because it's ours.
I'm sorry?
It's not even a real star. It's ours because it's our star.
Whoever's looking at my search history is going to think I'm trying to blow up the sun.
Let's get back to the fact that you think the sun is
a real star, but it's our star. It's kind of like if you have a celebrity in your family. They're not really a celebrity. It's just my cousin. All right?
They're still a celebrity.
Trust me. Take Derek Jeter out of it, all right? Because apparently he's too good for everyone. Your average celebrity, like John Frankel's wife isn't like, oh, my husband, the celebrity.
Well, John Frankel's not a celebrity.
Oh, he is a celebrity.
He's not a celebrity.
Jack Ford's wife isn't like.
Also not a celebrity.
you just because they're my friends, you won't give
people
them.
People on television are not automatically right. celebrities.
So a wife of a celebrity is not automatically, doesn't think of. Or the wife of a celebrity doesn't say, oh, my husband, the celebrity. It's just her husband.
But they acknowledge that their husband
is
one.
Yeah, but it's not like another celebrity they see like, that's a celebrity. Go.
without a telescope, 1.5 billion kilometers away.
So not
1.5 billion kilometers.
That's pretty far.
And in miles, that's a little under a billion. It's a little under
Seems
a billion
a
miles.
Seems a lot closer now.
In the very darkest conditions, the human eye can see stars at a magnitude 6.5 or greater.
So those things are big because it's, Now, how long does it take for that light? I mean, we could do the math, but how long does it take for that?
A while.
Well, long enough that these things are gone.
Yes.
Some of them might still. Can any of them that we see still exist?
Most of them that we see still exist.
Okay. Okay.
But some of them don't.
Right.
Right.
So most of them do. This is the worst astronomy program ever. This is not even what they teach in like fourth grade. This is the worst science lesson I mean, I hope children, if you're out there, if you're listening, if your parents have forced you, I know you've asked them to turn on K104. I get that. You're like, please put on pop music. Please. Please. Can I please listen to something good? Can I please listen to Pitbull? I get it. All right? But your parents, they're sports fans. They want to listen to the fun guys. All right? So I don't listen to whatever science lesson we're giving you. Just ignore it. Ignore it. We still have two breaks left in this program.
We only have one.
Oh, that's true.
We played involuntarily for us.
So we only have one, so we can go.
That's why we got a little bit of time to talk about this.
We haven't
gotten to what do you believe in that you die for?
That I die for? I mean,
nothing.
Well,
because you're like, oh, I believe in the moon and the stars. And now we're like, well, there's not a lot. There's not
well,
a lot.
I'm not dying for
there's
the moon.
There's not a lot in this world worth dying for.
I mean, Jupiter has like 8 moons. So, I mean, I'm not dying for a moon. Take one of theirs. The moon doesn't do – I mean, yeah, it's darker at night without it. I get that. It's nice to have the moon, but we could live without it. I mean, there's
actually
only,
not true.
There's only
you
been
would
like
– drown.
Yeah, you do realize the moon controls the tides.
There's only been like 4 people that have ever even been on the moon.
Way more than 4.
Name them.
Neil Armstrong.
Yep, you got – that's the gimme.
Buzz Aldrin.
Sure.
2 others.
So I said 4.
There have been more than 4. There have been a lot. We did like a bunch of – how many people have been on the moon, Mike Wallace? Yeah.
The FBI thinks I'm trying to blow up the moon.
Get me Yulia Efimova on the phone. We will blow up the moon. I feel like
– a dozen.
12 people have been on the moon.
All right.
That's way more than 4.
I was off by a magnitude of 3. All right, so – but a lot of them don't count. But that's fine. So 12 people on the moon. There's 5 billion people on the Earth.
7.
Really? That's a change. It's an increase. 7? That's not true.
7 billion people on this planet.
Wallace,
it is true.
How many people live on the planet Earth?
It's over 7 billion.
I don't believe that. We count.
Well, we're about to find out.
All right. So can we? I'm not really willing to die for much of anything.
Right. So there you are. Like you don't believe in anything, Jeb Brault. Turns out you also
7.4.
There you go.
Billion.
Yes,
that's an accurate census. All right, only a few hundred million here.
So you're over
there
like you don't believe in anything, and you're throwing stones from a glass house because you also don't believe in anything.
I believe in things. It's just
yeah, you just not enough.
Well, you only get one life.
I agree. I'm right there with you.
I mean, but there is something like if I'm going to die for something. I want it to be like – I want to be immortalized because of that. Like I want there to be statues.
Sure. You want to die like saving someone's life. I think that's the best way to die if you have to die. And we all do. So you might as well do it.
I'd want to do it like saving like a lot of lives. Like
sure.
Huge,
that's great too. Yeah.
Like I'd want it to be like a movement.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. That's how – but I want it to be so big that there'd be like –
let me tell you what. I don't care what you believe in. If you believe in it strongly enough that you're willing to give your life for it, you scare me. Extremism in all forms scares me.
Sure. Well, here's the question. Would people die for their kids? You wouldn't.
I don't have kids.
Would you die for someone else's kids?
Maybe. Depends.
Okay. How about the kids you read to in that elementary school?
In what scenario?
I don't know. This is getting very gruesome, so let's leave that aside.
So right. What we were going to talk about before Keith Strudler decided to throw stones from his glass house.
All right. I don't have a glass house.
Clearly, because it's obviously been knocked down by the boulders that we've lobbed back at you.
Just full of gold pipes.
Copper.
It's a copper house. Gets very hot in the summer.
Oh, God, yeah.
Lily King says Yulia Efimova shouldn't
God,
be.
God, stop doing that. It's Efimova. That's how this got derailed in the first place.
Shouldn't be. I mean, it might be. We don't know. Shouldn't be in the Olympics because she was found to have tested positive for banned substances twice.
Twice. And the first time she served a 16-month suspension is for a DHEA, mm-hmm. form of steroid. She mm-hmm. says she claims it was something she took from a GNC product, didn't even know. She, by the way, trains in the United States.
Correct. She, in California. For the last like 6 years, has lived in Los Angeles.
Which is part of why I believe that the IOC did allow her to compete because they did say they were going to have more leniency with athletes that were not directly under the control of Russian authorities.
Correct. But the way the
Mike Wallace, by the way, is looking through a photo montage of Yulia Efimova and giving
us the thumbs up. If you listen to the jingoistic American media.
And by the way, the second one was for Melodonium.
Which is the same thing Maria Sharapova took. Yep. That one actually was the ban was erased because if you take it, she took it when it was legal to take, and it remains in your system longer.
We assume that to be true. Well, we're going on.
That's what the reports have said, okay. Is that she took Melodonium, there it is, when it was a legal substance.
Do we know that for certain, or is that just
that's why she's allowed to compete in these Olympics.
Okay.
She didn't get a two-year ban the way Maria Sharapova did from tennis. If you listen to the American media, it's Lily King clean, Yulia Efimova, or Efimova, not. And that's not true. There is some murkiness here.
Well, look, in any of these drug cases, we can only go on what we know, right?
Correct.
Anything else, because God knows, and this is part of the murkiness, is we have no idea who's cheating and who's not.
Well, so this is all a giant gray area, because according to Dave Salo, who is Efimova's coach at USC.
Sure.
Efimova's coach slash coach at USC. She doesn't swim for USC.
Right.
He says 90% of swimmers are on something.
Legal or not. They all read some of the same articles. I've given up trying to convince them to not get recovery things. Because they all think they need something other than chocolate milk and whatever else at the end to get muscle recovery.
And again, depending on where you draw the line, is Tylenol a performance enhancer? To some degree, a little bit.
Advil?
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So we're operating in this giant shade of gray.
The world of performance enhancing drugs is a gray zone to start. So there are rules, and the rules have to be the arbiters. But we also know we're never going to catch everyone. We know that. All right. So yeah, I hear what you're saying, but let's just start with when we say there's murkiness, we have to assume that Lily King has not knowingly taken a performance enhancing drug. She hasn't failed a drug test yet, and she has openly said, I do it clean. Now,
yes.
I don't think it's fair, even though we do this a lot, to assume that she might be doing it too. That's a natural inclination, by the way. And it's something that kind of was raised. And this is something, by the way, this is the Usain Bolt thing, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. Everyone's like, he must be doing it because all the guys he beat got caught, and he's faster than all of them. It's the Lance Armstrong story, which you kind of knew Lance was doing it because every single guy in cycling was doing it, and he was way better than all the rest of them. This is a natural thing. I think it becomes very challenging mentally to not start to go down that road. Just a little side note, I do think we have to also be careful because we are much more critical of certain athletes, particularly athletes from foreign countries, than we are of our own.
Absolutely. And especially Russia now, because the entire Russian track and field team, save for one woman who trained in the United States, has been banned from
track,
Rio.
And track has been historically thought of as a dirty sport, so is cycling. Swimming, oddly enough, has been thought of as a clean sport, and it's not. Swimming, you go back enough to the East German era, swimming was the dirtiest sport of all.
I mean, again, this all depends on your definition of clean.
But clean by the rules.
Sure.
Clean by the rules.
Yes.
That's the only
thing
we can
go on.
But then
again, taking Meldonium was clean until it wasn't.
All right, but the only thing we can go on now are the rules as they exist. Although, I mean, you do have to have some – I'm not saying they make sense, but you do have to have some objective, this is what we're going to allow and this is what we're not going to allow.
Well, I disagree with that.
I know you do.
I do.
Take anything. The steroid Olympics.
Take anything. I don't understand this argument of why we feel the need in sports to limit technology in any way, whether it's – medical technology, physical technology, where we take progress that has been made as a society and say, it's great, this is a breakthrough, just not in swimming, just not in sports. Why you can be a regular person who suffers an injury and be given a steroid for recovery from a doctor a medical professional says, hey, this is going to help you recover from this injury. But if you have that same injury and play Major League Baseball, you're not allowed to take that to recover. I don't understand.
Sure.
You know, and people have this idea that a steroid, that a performance-enhancing drug, is somebody going into the bathroom and sticking a needle in their tuchus. And it's just...
Excuse me, the correct word is tushy.
And it's not that. And they get this idea that it's going to kill them
eventually.
They're going to get back acne and lose all their hair.
Some of it is that.
And they're going to shrivel up. Not anymore. These things are safe. Like, they're safe now. You can take things to enhance your performance that don't kill you.
There are things that are banned. There are things that are banned that are that we don't need to ban.
Yes,
I agree.
Yes.
There are also things that are banned that are really dangerous.
Yes, but I don't think at this day and age with what exists that is safe, I don't think anybody's taking those other things. I don't think they're better anymore.
I don't know. I don't. There's always a next. So I agree with you in many regards. I disagree on the fact that we know for certain that they're all safe and that we can guarantee that there's not going to be a doctor that prescribes
less safe. I also don't – I mean, and again, I've said this with the caveat that all people that compete in sports should have to declare what substances they're on. It should be tested and it should be declared. It shouldn't be illegal, but you should know. You should know what the people you're competing against are using. If you put it out in the open, you take it out of the shadowy back rooms, it's now administered under the care of doctors, of team administrators, the athletes themselves. You take the stigma out of it. Why not allow athletes to perform at their best? Why not use the technology that we have developed?
I think this is one of those few cases where we actually could use a guest on the show because we could – to be honest, I think both of us are probably less informed than we could be about what are the health risks of these particular performance-enhancing
yes.
drugs.
I do feel very confident, though, knowing that
– I think steroids are dangerous.
Anything is dangerous when used not under a doctor's supervision, when used in sort of these murky, you know, when you get something from a vial from a guy at your gym, it's a lot different than when you go to your doctor's office and your doctor prescribes you something and says, hey.
This is the same argument we're having about medical marijuana, right? There are safe forms of marijuana and there are things that are going to make you really sick, right? And that's why I don't like the blanket, like, just legalize, it's all fine. I'm like, no, it's not all fine. Some of this stuff's actually dangerous, and used incorrectly, marijuana can be very dangerous.
It's not that you should be able to walk into any pharmacy on the corner and go pick up the steroid that you need. You should be able to get it from doctors and medical officials.
The argument gets murkier, and we're walking further away from this discussion about Lily King and Yulia Efimova, but the argument gets a little murkier when you do consider, and this is a cliche, is what about, you know, those that are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? Like, when are you allowed to start using these substances? Because I can tell you, I'm not going
to. No doctor in the world is going to give performance-enhancing drugs to an 11-year-old.
What about a 16-year-old that's already an Olympic swimmer?
16-year-olds are different because some are capable of being Olympic swimmers and others are struggling to make their
high school. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some potentially risky side effects to a 16-year-old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's
I'm
why
not ready to see –
That's why these things need to be administered by doctors.
Right. Where they need to be – yes, potentially they need to be administered by doctors. But you're not going to walk away from the same issues we have, which is certain countries and certain delegations will evade those rules. So you can legalize whatever you want. That doesn't mean the Russians aren't going to –
Well, the rules go away if there's no illegality to it.
You're not telling me, though, that there won't be drug labs in countries that will not administer things that are less safe that are potentially more effective. You're making the argument that we can safely administer all PEDs. I'm not sure that's
– No, I'm not making that argument at all. I'm saying that the ones that are unsafe – and this is where I'm a little – you know, my knowledge is not at expert level.
We like to remind you, as we always do, we are not medical professionals. Not at all.
But if you have a safe – legal,
this is
professionally
real important.
Administered
real
option.
This is the point of the program where I'm going to tell you I'm not going to have my commentary ready.
That's good. We're running out of time anyway. If you have a safe, legal, professionally administered, widely tested, out in the open substance that can help maximize your performance.
Sure.
And you have, on the other hand, something that can do ostensibly the same thing,
but that
is not professionally administered.
Yeah, but
is not tested. That is not out in the open. Who in the world is taking substance two?
You are making an assumption about that we can't make. All right, that's an assumption that yes,
which
I
again
understand.
Gets back to my other point, where to do this, any athlete, whatever's in their whatever they're using, needs to be publicly declared.
And they might lie.
No, I mean we test for it.
We test now. We can't catch things. We test all the time. People get away with everything. That doesn't – now, look, let's bring this back to the Lily King, the kind of American – and not just American, but a general kind of feeling that – and it got very fashionable early to make Lily King a hero.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it switched, and it got very fashionable to call Lily King a spoiled American brat. Like, it's as if there's no middle ground here.
Right.
Right?
Well, there's middle ground with Efimova, too.
Right, I'm saying, but
she's not this drug cheat.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, no one got. It's a much more nuanced discussion. And on the one hand, I think was Lily King being kind of an ugly American and simplistic by kind of not really. I mean, she's angry that from her perspective, she's done everything that she was supposed to do, and she knows, like anyone who's been in that sport, that medals have been lost to people who have really, really taken advantage of PEDs. And now, in some cases, not their choice. Some cases, this is a state mandated program, right? I understand that the lives of athletes from Russia, China, various countries are very different than the lives of those from America, Canada, right? They have the options to make different choices. That said, don't kid yourself. Like, if you swam or if you were on Lance Armstrong's cycling team, you were doing it. It just wasn't mandated by the state. It was mandated by a local, local professional federation.
Sure.
Right? Santa Monica Track Club. I think I can only imagine what they did back in those days. People are very, very leery of the Oregon Project, Alberto Salazar's distance running program, because God knows there's all kind of murkiness around what he's advising his athletes to do. So, yeah, we get, all right? We get that for Lily King to say, I didn't do it, but she did, that's a little simplistic, because we understand that we had – there are different situations around that. But I don't think it's unfair for Lily King to say, look, I thought there's one way to do it. Yeah, we understand Lily King grew up in America, had all these advantages. We get that, all right? But I think it's fair to privilege that argument. I think it's also fair to privilege the argument that we don't know what everyone's doing. Just because she cheated doesn't necessarily – or she took a substance that was banned doesn't necessarily mean she's been doing that her whole career. Doesn't necessarily mean she is a horrible person or she's a cheat. Doesn't mean that she wasn't forced. I mean, we don't know. We don't know any of these things. It is a gray area in the middle, but I don't buy into the idea. Even though I used to joke, like, let's do the steroid Olympics. The more I kind of – I watch this evolve, the more I say we can't just let anyone do anything.
Why not? Why do we want to keep creating these gray areas where we can eliminate the gray areas and use technology to –
Because eliminating the gray areas, I think, is unsafe. I think there's a reason we have laws. You could say the same about speed limits and all. You can do this with almost anything and say, look, it's a very libertarian approach.
Now, speed limits don't so much exist for you, but they exist for the car next to you.
They exist.
We
for
all
you
share
too.
The road.
Yeah, they exist for you too.
Yes and no, but at the end of the day. You know, it's kind of like drunk driving laws. They don't exist for you. They exist for the innocent people.
Sure, sure. I would argue they exist for both. I mean, but
yes, but we know you.
If everyone's driving drunk,
you're also you're for the New York City ban on large sodas.
That's correct.
And I'm for personal. Like, I'm for personal choice.
Yes.
And I believe if you want to drink a large soda to your own personal detriment, knock yourself out
as they want to be.
If you drinking a large soda somehow harms somebody else, yeah, we probably shouldn't do
that. That's a social ill. Are you because we're gonna deal with all the health costs? You work in a hospital.
Yes. Yeah. But yes and no. I look at I drink large soda sometimes. I really kind of don't. I don't drink large quantities of anything.
You don't.
But the point is, I drink soda, and I'm the picture of health.
Okay.
I'm a paragon
of
health.
Oh, my God. And of course, it all comes back to how you live your life the right way.
I do not at all live my life the right way.
You, if everyone just did what I did, it would be fine.
But everybody is different. Some people can have a large soda and not go into some sugar coma.
And some people are Rob Duffy.
Ouch.
You can see the minute he eats something, you can see right on the size.
Rob Duffy is our former production intern, a man of large carriage.
That was on. Rob, if you're listening, and God knows you're not, I apologize. That was mean spirited. It was unnecessary. I'm not proud. I'm not happy
but,
I did that.
But what we're not,
you know
what we're not arguing.
When sometimes when you say mean things about it about other people, it's because you don't like yourself.
That's almost always true. Yeah. What we're arguing now. Is, you think that some performance-enhancing substances are unsafe and that athletes
sure.
should be protected from that. I don't necessarily disagree that that's wrong, but I think people need to make choices. And if you do these things out in the open, if you make them transparent and in the light
know.
And in the daytime and you remove the stigma from them and you bring doctors into the equation,
there are times I
think you're gonna improve the safety of administering 50-fold.
I understand what you're saying, and there are probably some substances. I think the long list of things that are banned is
it's too much. I think there are things that could be eliminated from that list. I think there are things that need to be on that list. But here's the look. We're talking about policy around a large sociological issue, and that's the problem. The reality is we're talking about something that no matter what the rules are, the stakes are so incredibly high and the incentive to win is so high that it doesn't matter to some degree where we draw a line. Because we're still – look, no matter what, you're going to have to draw a line somewhere.
Always a line.
There's always a line.
Yes. But certain lines are significantly easier to cross than others. And I agree there will need to be some things that are banned, but they are going to be so ridiculous.
Right.
And there will be alternatives that are 98% as good.
Can't eat a rhino the night before.
That's kind of exactly it. That's kind of exactly it.
But my point is it's a risk-reward world where it's always – the risk-takers are always going to be privileged, I suppose, to some regard. And the rewards are so high for winning. You can either take the risk and win and take that small risk that you might get caught, or you can compete and lose clean. And what's competing and losing clean worth? Nothing.
Nothing.
It's worth whatever it's worth to you, and that's it.
A point that you made earlier that is correct. It would be unfair right now to think that Lily King is not clean. There's no reason not to think that.
We have to believe that.
But how many times in the last 15, 20 years have we been burned by exactly that thought?
This is what we have to get. We have to get over this. We have to get over the mindset. And this is how we got into the Lance Armstrong. Now we got to take a break. This is how we got into the Lance Armstrong problem. We cannot believe that the world is a Rocky film where the clean athlete always rises to the top and beats the cheaters. We have to stop. Like, we started earlier in the show believing in science. We have to believe in science. The reality is, if cheating makes you better, we have to almost by definition believe that people who cheat and get away with it are going to win a lot.
Yeah, I hate that it's called cheating. All right. To me, it's not cheating. What Lance Armstrong did was not cheating to me.
It's cheating if we – by definition. Rules. When you break the rules, you're cheating. That doesn't mean you believe in the rules.
He went against the rules. I have a hard time labeling something cheating or labeling someone a cheater if everyone else they competed against was cheating. Because you know who hasn't stepped forward? The people who finished, fourth in one of those Tour de France's that Lance Armstrong
Tour
won.
Tour de France.
To say, I was clean. That should be my yellow jersey.
No, they don't.
I want it clean.
They don't want it.
You know why no one said that?
You don't want them going to your urine sample.
Exactly.
No, we know that.
That's why nobody's stepping forward to claim I actually won the 2004
Tour
de France.
Sometimes, and this is the bizarre, hypocrisy of some of the mind think of a lot of athletes. It's sometimes the people that end up testing positive later that are the loudest vocal opponents of the people that get caught. Lewis.
I mean, that was Lance Armstrong for the longest time.
Well, Carl Lewis just railed on Ben Johnson. How many people have faith that Carl Lewis competed clean his entire career?
Exactly.
And yet he went to town on Ben Johnson.
Exactly.
It's almost as if you yell the loudest, people assume you're clean. So it is. It's a very unfortunate landscape in which we exist. I do think there does need to be a WADA that actually enforces performance-enhancing drug standards of some sort. I don't know what they are. I just don't know what they are.
No, and no one does. My opinion, significantly relaxed.
That
from
may
where
be
they
fine. That may be fine, and maybe. But let's go back. Let's tie this back to the Missy Franklin thing. When a gold medal is worth $5 million, the incentive to cheat is very high.
Yeah, true. I do think another point we should underscore. There is no pill you could take or injection that's going to make you an Olympic swimmer.
No.
Like,
you have to – it allows you to train harder
and
recover. It's recovery.
And I don't understand why we are vilifying here in 2016 medical technology that can help you perform.
No, it's
– because I drink a cup of coffee in the morning because it helps me – be a better person come 10 a.m.
I don't know. I think that's just because you selfishly want the buzz you get off the coffee. I don't think you're doing that to help your performance.
Doing it because without it, I feel tired and sluggish, and with it, I feel less so. Kind of the same reason why an athlete who has to lift heavy things in training
you made yourself sound a little bit too much like a martyr.
That's why people drink coffee.
All right, we got to go to break. Can we trigger a break? Right? Do you think?
Wow, this is a crapshoot. grades of the week and no Key Struthers commentary.
Well, we're out of time.
No, we're not. We actually have plenty of time.
We are so out of time today, guys.
We could fit it in if we wanted to.
It was really long.
Well,
it was like 8 minutes.
We gave it a shot. More of the classroom ahead. Fox 12 20, 97.3 ESPN Radio. We're back in the classroom. Do not forget to throw us a like on Facebook by searching for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN underscore
let's
classroom.
This is most important. Download those archives.
iTunes podcast section.
Come on.
ESPN The Classroom.
So we were riding high for a few weeks, well, you know, in the three digits. We're down in the 40s the last couple of weeks.
Ah, people, be better.
What is that? I don't care if you already listened to the show. Listen to it again.
Sometimes you need some tough love. And we love you, listeners. We love you.
Some of you more than others.
But be better. Ugh. You almost don't deserve grades of the week.
And now for your grades of the week.
The U.S. women's soccer team shockingly lost yesterday in the Olympic quarterfinal round. They fell to Sweden, coached by Pia Sundhage. Who is the former? That's her name, Pia Sundhage. Okay.
Did you practice that before? Or do you
know I just know how that's pronounced. Right. Who was formerly the coach of the United States women's national team, so she knows the players in the U.S. very well. Uh-oh. She devised a strategy to beat the United States, and it worked. Except goalkeeper Hope Solo didn't really like it, saying that after the game, the Sweden players and their game plan was, quote, cowardly. Now Solo has come under huge fire for these remarks because she didn't just give the same basic platitudes that all athletes give after a tough game. She didn't go in there and say, oh, we tried our best and we'll try to be better next time. She actually showed that she cared and said something honest, and now she has been vilified for it. Keith Strudler, great Hope Solo's comments.
I actually give that a D. I would be the first one too, by the way, but I would take a different tact. I would say, oh, I pulled a hamstring. I would make an excuse.
Right? Yes.
Classic
Strudler.
Yes. Not my fault. You know, it was really hot out. I was sick last night. Whatever it is. I would certainly alleviate any insinuation that I failed. But it's not – the goal is to win, right? Isn't that the goal?
To win? Of course.
So what – cowardly, that feels very this shouldn't be perceived as in any way offensive. It sounds almost very – old school masculine, like you got to be tough, like that's not the goal. Like, you know, football players, like, he's not a tough football player. You got to be willing to go out and play hurt. Like, no, that's not it. Like, the goal is to win, and if you can outsmart your opponent, God bless. Like, that's the idea. That's exactly the mindset you want to get away from. Like, the idea that we're going to go right at their strength. Like, no. You win however – like, one of the greatest basketball teams of all time was it 1986 Villanova team?
85. Before the four quarters.
They weren't like, we're going to beat Georgetown at their game. Like, no.
No, we're going to hold the ball for 4 minutes at a time.
We win 2-0. We'll win 2-0. Like, I mean, right? And I'm sure a lot of people were screaming like, they're cowardly. Look at them. They're not trying to play. Who cares? They knew what the rules were. They knew how to exploit those rules, and they won.
How do you feel about the vilification of Hope Solo for saying what she said?
Here's the thing. I mean, look, Hope Solo is Hope Solo, and she's had her share of issues. At some point, you have to stop giving her passes on saying things that are somewhat incendiary. She's had a lot of passes. She said a lot of things that probably were offensive to someone or another.
Yeah. Doesn't really bother me, by the way.
I mean, I don't care. It's up to her. Well, but, I mean, I wasn't a huge – she's a fantastic athlete, amazing athlete. I mean, has carried the United States soccer team to countless victories and medals and championships. She deserves all the credit for that. But, you know, this idea – and it's funny. They talked about this, I think, in – I can't remember which publication. But the idea that, you know, being politically correct, incorrect, is great. Just say what you – and usually it's just offensive.
Well, that's become part of the discourse now. Here's
but
what I don't
but
like.
But it usually is just – and, you know, she may have been, I'm just going to be politically incorrect. Well, you're just actually being offensive.
No, I see. But I think she was being honest in her own opinion. And if you think her honest opinion is stupid, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But I don't like when the sports media gets up there and is like, oh, we just get the same crappy stock answers, and why do we even have these press conferences? We can just write their quotes right now. They played a tough game. We're going to train harder. I thank our fans for all the support. This is sad, but we'll be back. When somebody tells you what they honestly think, when somebody doesn't take losing well, I like it. Like the people that vilified Cam Newton after the Super Bowl, I want my quarterback to sit in that media scrum and look like he's pissed off that he just lost the Super Bowl.
I don't mind that. She can look angry and pissed off all she wants, but to call to accuse them of being cowardly, I think that's over the line. There's a difference. Cam Newton sulking and being upset, good for him. Like, I mean, good. You know, it's not good for his marketing career, but you know, that's great if he has that much passion, and that's I don't mind that at all. That's totally normal. But to accuse another team of being cowardly, I don't like it.
It's all the time we've got in the
classroom. I had a great commentary ready. Just take it to the house.
I hate you so much right now.
Take it home. By the way, how many? Name the five top. Name. Give me the medal count, top to bottom.
America, China, South Korea.
What?
No.
No.
Oh, they got to be. They're close.
Not
aren't
in top
they?
Five. Keep going. You're not going to get it.
Hungary.
Oh, come on. What is it? The whole thing water polo now? Keep going.
Well, it's
I'll
hard because Russia's out.
Yeah. It's Great Britain, Germany, Japan. It interests
Great Britain.
That's a gold, by the way. That's gold.
Oh, well, what's the overall?
I don't have that.
We're just giving you overall medals, not
gold. It doesn't matter.
Does matter because I'm pretty sure South Korea's third.
No, they're not. There's no way they are. Because Britain has 24. China's got 38. There's no way South Korea has more than 24.
How do you know?
Because I'll look it up right now.
Darn right you will. Next week in the classroom, we will have the answer. Just like how Jeff was right about how many people are on this planet, and Jeff is right about how many people walked on the moon, and Jeff is right about how far away the stars are. Jeff's right about this as
you're
well.
Absolutely.
And we'll find out next week, because that's all the time we've got in the classroom. This morning, again, we're on
South Korea has 13 overall medals. You are way off.
13. That's in the top five.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Top five ends it at 14. 19 is top five. 22 is top five. By the way, Russia in the top five. Interesting.
Wow, they snuck in there, huh?
Yeah, snuck in number
drug
five.
Drug cheats, all of them.
Take it to that.
Take those medals.
We gotta
take them.
We're done.
But we're not here next week.
All right. Oh yeah, your best of show.
Best of. We're not live.
All right then. But listen anyway.
Do it.
Download
anyway.
This show.
Download a podcast section. ESPN in the classroom. Bye, Mike Wallace. Bye, Keith Strudler. I'm Jeff Brault. Class dismissed.